You bring your phone everywhere. Work, school, the movies. Now you can bring it to an Xfinity store for an easy way to switch to Xfinity Mobile, a new kind of network designed to save you money. You can get up to 5 lines of talk and text included with Xfinity Internet at no extra cost, so all you pay for is data. It's never been easier to switch to Xfinity Mobile and keep the phone you love. Click here to see how. Sorry, I gotta take this. Restrictions apply. Limited to select mobile phones. Requires activation of a new line of Xfinity Mobile. Up to 5 devices per account. New Xfinity Internet customers limited to up to 2 lines pending activation of Internet service.
Archangels, ghosts, and Bigfoot. Oh my. It's just another night for Supernatural Girls. Real stories, real answers to life's biggest supernatural mysteries. And now for another exciting interview with paranormal experts from this world and others. Here's your host, paranormal researcher Patricia Baker, on the one, the only, Supernatural Girls.
Welcome, everyone, to another very exciting show on Supernatural Girls Radio. We are here and ready to go. Where do you hear what we have going on tonight? You will not believe it. You are going to have to fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a great show and a really great ride. PK, welcome. How are you?
Absolutely fabulous today. I can't wait to get into talking with Chris tonight.
I know it. Chris Moon is our guest. He is the author of a book called Ghost Box, and he's the only one in the world that has this particular ghost box. And we're going to get into all the particulars with him very shortly. But first, you being a great numerologist, Patricia Kirkman at patriciakirkman.com. I just want to mention that in case anybody needs to have a reading, because we got all kinds of stuff going on in the world today. We got people saying it's the end of the world in a couple days, right? What, the 23rd? What
well,
is up with that?
I think they're paying too much attention to the fake news, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely crazy the things that people will pick on and think about. It's bad enough when we're having the different things taking place between the ocean, the world, everything. There's something wrong everywhere. Nothing is put together. We've got earthquakes. We've got fires. We've got volcanoes going through chaos. We've got another storm that just hit Puerto Rico, and it's just one thing after another. I guess you could call that the coming at the end of the world, because to each group, that is the end of their world.
Yes, it is. You're right.
And
because people have
terrible.
Lost their houses and things like that and everything they own. It's terrible. So you're right. But this it's a Christian numerology thing that I read about.
We're
you're saying,
book.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Don't buy the book.
Okay. We will not
it's
buy that.
It's false.
It is false information. Okay.
Yes.
We don't want fake. No, we only do the real deal here anyway.
That's
so.
Right.
But
that's
I wanted you to address it because it's flying around the internet, and I wanted you to be able to say this as from your place of knowledge as a numerologist.
When we talk about the 23rd, that's a 6-day, which is all about family type situations and making things better for the world at large and dealing with alternative things. I don't think that's got what God had planned for the end of the world.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so,
that's good news. We can all breathe a sigh of relief.
Definitely.
We'll make it past the 23rd. Okay. And anything else we need to be aware of from those numbers, everything coming up? What's happening?
Well, actually, we're still reviewing this entire year. That's what this month is about for everybody. And one of the things that today's all about all types of communication and a lot of scary, stupid things going on, but a lot of good things that we could really pay attention to. Well, let's take a look at what was going on in Argentina, that article that you brought up.
That's right. That's on our Facebook page, everybody, if you want to read it and see the photographs. That's right. Don't cry for me, Argentina. There are UFO sightings going on down there, and there are sightings of aliens, pictures people are taking of aliens. Now, remember what Simeon Hein told us, that these South American countries have come out and said, yes, we admit it. The governments have said, yes, we know they're here. We've had interactions with them. Our people have had interactions with them. Mm-hmm. Why won't we come out in a bigger way? Because we are afraid from repercussions from the United States government. Isn't that sad?
It's pathetic.
It is.
It really is. Gee, wouldn't it feel bad to think that we're the only country that's not seeing any of these things or being visited? I mean, I guess we're in quarantine.
I guess.
Maybe that's
according to the government,
is.
They don't exist. We all know that's baloney. Baloney. We know it's baloney.
Someplace else, but not here.
Yes, you're right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, anyways, please go to our Facebook page. You've got a lot of great stories on the Facebook page.
Definitely.
Give us a like, follow us, join us on Twitter, sign up for the Fringe Files.
Mm-hmm.
That's our newsletter.
Yes.
Yeah, must sign up for that. And again, our website is supernaturalgirlswithaz.com. Mm-hmm. And tonight we have, I think, the most exciting guest ever.
I have to agree with you. Yes.
Don't you think? I think so.
I think so, too. We're very fortunate.
We are so grateful to have this guy on the show. And he came in at the last second. He was able to move his own plans around just to be with us. We are so happy and honored to have him with us. His name is Christopher Moon, and he has a new book out called Ghost Box, which he co-authored with his mom, which is, that's so cool. I think that's extremely cool. But let's say a little bit about Chris first, because he's a renowned physical and electronic psychic medium. So he's also a psychic medium, even without the Ghost Box. And he's a paranormal researcher. He is an educator and speaker. And he's appeared on national television programs. He's a star also. Such as, he's been on the Today Show, he's been on Paranormal State, Ghost Adventures, Door to the Dead, Most Extreme Places to Stay, the Lizzie Borden House. We're going to be talking about that.
Yes.
Right here in Massachusetts. And Chris is with us tonight. We are going to talk about this ghost box thing. He's the only one in the world that has this ghost box. We've got so much to hear about tonight. Chris, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. Now,
definitely.
Foremost, please tell us, because you have a long history of paranormal experiences. I mean, this is like since the very beginning of your life. But tell us, how did you get into this thing with a ghost box? We found it fascinating.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'll give you the Reader's Digest version because I could go on for about 3 hours about the story, how it all came to be. But I had my first experience at 7 years old, and my father was a skeptic. And when I told him that I saw a ghost in my room, he basically told me the only ghost was the Holy Ghost. And I spent the majority of my life trying to prove to him that that wasn't the case. So I became an amateur paranormal investigator when I was about seven, and had a Polaroid camera and a Radio Shack tape recorder, and used to go around and try to prove to him these things were real. And lo and behold, he convinced me that I was crazy. And I decided
how nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Father Gav.
Of course. So I directed my passion into music, and I started playing guitar very early on and was in bands very early on. And at age 16, moved into a new house and actually had more paranormal experiences the night that we moved into this house than I had in my life prior to that point. So had to make a decision what I did with that. And obviously, I decided to move forward with the paranormal, and I'd be in bands touring, and I'd actually, while I was on tour, go ghost hunting, and everybody thought I was crazy for doing it, but they kept me out of trouble, so they encouraged it. And I eventually had a tour manager who was into the same stuff that I was, and we'd go ghost hunting together. And so when I retired from music, we put together the first paranormal webzine, which was ghosthuntermagazine.com, which was a lot of fun. It was terrible looking, but we were able to put all of our evidence up there online. You'll find a pattern with me. Usually when I start out things, I have no idea what I'm doing. I just go for it and hope that it turns out okay. But, you know, this magazine got pretty big, and it came out right around the same time as Ghost Hunters and the TV show, and it kind of blew up and got big, and eventually opened up Haunted Times magazine, which was a print paranormal magazine. And my partner in that was my father, the skeptic. So
wow.
Yeah, he went in as the skeptic to debunk me. I went in as the, you know, the believer and the one who was going to prove that it was real. And I guess I won because I eventually was able to show him enough proof that he stood up at one of my events and said, you know what, he's changed my entire view on the afterlife. I have to I have to do this. But when that happened, I was stuck because I was like, now what do I do? What's my new life mission at this point?
Because that was the
question to take it, Kristen.
Yeah, it's like the Holy Grail. You found it. Wow.
It was over at that point. So no, you know, I was too deep in at that point. I was already a quote unquote professional paranormal investigator, psychic medium. So yeah, but I hold Ghost Hunter Universities, which are the first event of their kind. Basically, back in 2003, we were doing investigations, and the news was following us around and kind of watching what we were doing. And what was happening is the public was actually calling in to the bed and breakfasts and saying, "How do we become part of this? How do we go on these investigations?" So we put together this like quick class and a paranormal investigation using the tools, and it started out in one location, and we've literally been around the world doing these classes. We still do them to this very day. So, and then of course I tour college campuses. Started in 2006, and usually do about anywhere between about 20 and 30 campuses each year, and I get to speak.
Oh wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah, take them out on ghost hunts, and it's a lot of fun. We have a good time. But the box, yeah, the box. How did that all come to be?
That's yeah, how did that happen? How did you find this thing?
Well, you know, it kind of found me, I guess. when it comes down to it, yeah, I was always a person who was fascinated with EVP, electronic voice phenomena, because, you know, as a medium, I'd been hearing things myself for a very long time, but there was really no way to prove to anybody else what was being said. So, you know, a lot of the times you become the crazy person when you're telling somebody, hey, you know, if there's somebody in the corner who wants to talk to you, they go, you're crazy. So, I was always fascinated with the idea of actually interviewing spirits, as crazy as that sounds, and just going in with respect. I'd always say, you know, you'd see a lot of these things on TV today where people yell and scream at the walls and things like that, but I always thought the most important thing was to be as respectful as you possibly could be and, you know, treat them like people. Explain why you're there, what you're doing, and ask them if they'd be kind enough to communicate with you.
That makes sense.
It seems logical.
Sense. I know. It's like, why would you go in and start screaming? I mean, it doesn't make sense that you're trying to develop a relationship so you can have a conversation, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Same idea. So, yeah, that was my idea. And lo and behold, I started getting a lot of recordings of spirits, not just their voices, but them actually answering our questions and things along those lines. So I was known very early on as a quote-unquote EVP expert or specialist or whatever the case might be. And the situation with Frank was just bizarre.
it was funny. And I want to tell everybody, to get the book so you get the full value of this relationship, it was so funny reading this. It's a great book, and there's a lot of humor in it. But please tell us.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a crazy story how it all came to be with Frank. And I'll leave the whole story for everybody to read the book. But essentially, Frank got in touch with me and told me that I was a lunatic for what I was doing. I was making a fool out of myself by being this EVP person. And we got into this fight and fought for about 3 months over email flame war. And eventually, my mother was the one who came to me and told me, stop fighting with that crazy man. And I said, okay, fine. So, yeah.
You were really trading insults back and forth.
Oh, we were going at it. He was, you know, you're crazy. And I'd say, you're a jerk. And we would just go back and forth. And I didn't know much about him, though. And so when my mom said, you know, let this crazy man go. So I wrote him back an email. I said, Frank, you know, you stay on your side of the street. I'll stay on mine. And he wrote me back another email, which basically said, you know, you may wonder why I'm such an expert in this EVP. It's because I've actually completed Thomas Edison's Telephone to the Dead. Yeah. And I really laughed. I really laughed out loud. I was like, you're nuts. There's no way possible. And I told him, I said, I'll fly to any location that you are in the world to see this thing work one time. And the crazy thing about it was he was about 15 minutes from my office that entire time. We yeah, you got to love the internet. So we had fought for a long time for absolutely no reason. And So we decided to set up this formal meeting. And the only place that you can obviously do that is the International House of Pancakes. So,
of course, yes.
Yeah, it's just logical. Yes. Absolutely. So, yeah, my father and I got on the suits and the briefcases, the laptops, and we drove out to IHOP. And there was Frank in this little flannel shirt and this trucker's cap, the little tiny red ponytail coming out of the back. And he thought we were the government coming to take him away at that point. So, you know, once we convinced him that we weren't CIA or FBI or anything like that, he actually sat down and told us the story about how it all came to be. And that story was absolutely incredible. So he eventually invited us to come down to his workshop, and we did. And it was the following weekend, and he showed us this machine that was an old 1980s computer tower, and it looked like somebody had torn it apart and rebuilt it, put it back together with this little wood speaker sitting up on top of it. And he flipped this thing on, and it sounded like a broken radio. It sounded like somebody was taking a radio dial and just tuning it back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, I thought this guy built a broken radio, and he was talking to ghosts and aliens through it. So I said, we need to go. Tried to get out. We thought we were going to get killed. So we were leaving, and he proceeded to tell me at that point that he was supposed to stay there. The voices told him that he was supposed to stay there and build these things. I was supposed to take it out and talk to ghosts. And we probably stood there for 5 minutes, just in the most awkward silence that's ever happened. And finally grabbed the machine, got out of there as fast as we could. And Frank just kind of trailed us all the way out, all the way through the driveway. But the machine sat on the shelf for a year, and we'd laugh
about
it. So
he trusted you enough to give you the machine.
Well, the voices told him that he was supposed to give me the machine because I was the guy who was going to go take it out and talk to ghosts.
Right.
So.
Wow.
I thought
a year later.
Yeah, I thought he was insane. So yeah, it sat there for a year and collected dust, and we'd laugh about it. And we had this huge investigation coming up at the Sally House in Atchison, Kansas, which I don't know if everybody knows about the Sally House, but it's one of the most intense cases that's ever been in the paranormal. There was a show called Sightings that did 12 episodes on it, and Unsolved Mysteries, and it's back in the 90s. But anyway, we were going back out there for our third investigation, and one day I walked into the office and decided I was going to prove to Frank it really didn't work before we were getting ready to shut down for the holidays. And I recorded an entire day of recordings off of this machine, and I went back and listened to the recordings. And as I'm listening to it, I'm thinking about the case, and all I hear is broken radio. And all of a sudden it says, as I'm shutting it down, it says, your trip to Atchison. And I'm sitting in Denver, Colorado at this point, which is a pretty big city. And I'm thinking Atchison, Kansas is a little tiny speck on the map. And what's the probability of a radio fragment that comes through and says, your trip to Atchison at that point? So I rewound it and listened to it again and again. It said, your trip to Atchison. And pretty soon I'm like, Mom, you know, she comes running. And so she listens to the recordings that I'm getting, and she's hearing things that I'm hearing. She's pretty amazed by it. But then all of a sudden one thing comes through and it says, ice boat. Just two words, ice boat. And nobody had known, as long as I could remember, she'd been having a waking nightmare about being on the Titanic and drowning and trying to hold up these two children as she was drowning so that they wouldn't drown. And it really resonated with her. And we looked at each other and said, yeah, there's something to this. So long story short, we were driving out to Atchison, Kansas a few days later, and we were supposed to go it was early morning. We're supposed to get there during the daytime because you never want to go in this place at night with very few people. You want to make sure you have a huge team. It's a pretty scary place. And we had car trouble that day and ended up getting there at dusk. So when we got to the place, it was starting to get dark. My mom was not moving. She stayed firmly planted there. But my father and I actually took the machine up into the nursery and got it up into the nursery, turned it on, started making the broken radio sounds. And I realized nobody had ever used this to communicate with spirits before, if it even really worked. So I started rambling like a lunatic. I'm like, oh, if there's any ghosts here, please speak through this box that Frank built. It's good. Thank you. You know, I'm going on and on. And my dad is just sitting there shaking his head, looking like, oh, you idiot. And so, the last thing I said at that point was I said, technicians assist. And at that point,
nowhere, huh?
Yeah, just hit me. Technicians assist. And we started walking out of the room. And we got a couple of steps down, and from behind, somebody had turned that machine all the way up. And it was just that white noise. And my father and I both froze because we heard it at the same time. And it felt like we stood there for hours. It was probably 30 seconds. But the most amazing thing after that happened was you hear this male voice come through the speaker of the machine over the static, and it says, "Sally, listen." Now, at this point, the hairs on my body shot up. I am hunched over, freaking out, and I see my father's reacting to it the same way. He's hearing the same thing I am. But the most incredible thing that happened was the little girl's voice that we captured dozens of times on open-air EVP comes through the speakers of the machine. This technician was actually training her how to use the machine.
Incredible.
And yeah, we stood there and listened for forever. It was pitch black by the time we got outside. But anyway, we took all the recording equipment we had and pointed it directly at this machine, and we collected about 15 years worth of EVP in 3 days that we were there. And it was incredible. It was just amazing. We truly had Thomas Edison's telephone to the dead. The problem that I had was is that I hadn't thought it out. And I wanted to tell the world about it, and made the mistake of starting to tell radio shows and different people, and they thought I was crazy. So I went from respected EVP analyst to lunatic in about 10 seconds. And yeah, you tell people painful. You have a magic radio that brings through the voices of the dead, people kind of look at you a little funny. So it was tough at first, but the nice thing about it was is that people, when they would come to my ghost hunter universities, would actually be able to use the machine, and they'd start speaking to spirits in the locations, you know, Lizzie Borden and people who had died in these places, and they were always blown away by it. But the one thing that would always happen was is that one of our attendees who was there would hear one of their deceased loved ones come through the speaker of the machine, and they'd call out to them. And I would say, "That's not why we're here." And they would get really upset. "That's my grandma. That's my dad. That's my." And it wasn't that I was trying to be mean. It's just that I didn't think that that's what the machine was supposed to be used for. I thought it was supposed to be used for solving crimes, working on these cases, realizing what had happened in these things. So long story short, I was harassed by mediums through the years, and they basically said, "You need to start using the machine to do readings for people because this is the greatest connection they could have." And I wasn't interested in doing it. I just didn't think that that was the right way to go, because psychic mediums had such a bad stigma throughout the years. You know, we go back to the early spiritualism and the fake seances and things like that. I was very much in the closet about it because I didn't want people to look at me in that light. So I kind of kept it to myself for the most part. And eventually Chip Coffee brought me out to the Savannah Ghost Conference and ended up having me do a demonstration in front of a crowd it was the first time I ever did readings for people. And every single person who came to this conference got up in front of a microphone and was able to hear their loved one's voice come through the speakers of this machine through the PA.
God.
And they call they call it the Savannah Experience. You can still go online and read about it. It was amazing. But when it was over with, I was drained. I felt terrible. And Chip came up to me and was basically like, "You ready to start doing these readings for people?" And I said, "Absolutely not. Don't want to do it." And ended up kind of getting me to do it again at another conference in Colorado at the Stanley Hotel. And I was doing it for charity, where people were getting up and getting raffle tickets to come up and speak with their loved ones. And just one thing led to another, and it's kind of a long story, but I've been working with a very specific spirit technician for a long time. I knew his name. He had told me the circumstances of his passing here on Earth, all sorts of different things. And I never talked to anybody else about it because I thought, who would really care? But the amazing thing was, I was doing these readings, and this one woman got a raffle ticket. She came forward. She sat down in front of me. We started talking back and forth. And all of a sudden, I looked at her and I said, "Is your son's name?" And I told her the name, and she went, "Oh," and I went, "Oh," and we realized at this point that her son had literally brought us together at that point. And I think that was the moment the reality hit me of how important this really was. And I said, I need to start doing readings for people. So I did my very first private reading the next day. And I've literally done thousands of private readings all around the world. And it's been incredible. So not only do we use it for paranormal investigations, but we use it for private readings and group readings and things like that. And it's really incredible. And I know
find it rewarding to be able to connect people with people who have passed? I mean, doesn't it give you a good feeling inside?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's nothing better. There's absolutely nothing better. I don't use the machine for myself ever. So I live vicariously through everybody else's readings, through their connections and the things that happen. And there's still to this day, I've never seen anything more amazing or earth-shattering than you know, when you lose someone on this side and you don't think you're ever going to hear that voice again until you cross, it's gone. That's it. And then all of a sudden that name comes through, or that voice comes through, the speakers of the machine, the laugh, whatever it is, it changes people. I just did a reading last night for a lady, and I could tell when we were there that, you know, and it's good to be skeptical. Don't get me wrong. I'm a skeptic to a certain degree. But I could tell she was kind of like, yeah, this is cool, but I'm not sure. Maybe, maybe not. And then she asked for a very specific, she asked for her father to come through, and he came through right in his own voice. And I mean, it, her face went white. The eyes opened up. She goes, that was him. That was actually his voice. And it was incredible to see her suddenly just fall into the session. She actually became part of it at that moment. And that's usually the way it goes. But
that's incredible. So wonderful for so many people that you're able to help have this experience. That's great.
Are they able to share information besides just hearing the voice of some type of information? It's, well, like my husband died at 37. Right. And, you know, is there, you know, was there a message that I should have learned? Did I learn something? Have I not? Is there that kind of a connection?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing I tell people when they go into a reading, and it sounds funny when I first say it, and I can see how it could be misconstrued. I say that before I even get into it. But I tell people, when you go into these sessions, try to think about that person. Concentrate on them. Tell them, you don't have to say it out loud, just in your mind, say, hey, I really want to talk to you. I want to connect with you, because that's the first way that you'll connect. And then I also tell people, when you go into the session, treat it like a phone call. Imagine that this device that we're holding, this box, is a speakerphone. And when we turn this thing on, it's a very long distance connection. But if you treat it as a phone call, you'll get their voice to come through. The best results that ever happen are when people go into it and they say, hi, how are you? Whatever they would normally say on the phone, that's when they'll get that confirmation right then and there. And the people who have trouble with it are the very skeptical people. And when they go in and they have a list of 30 questions, you know, the qualifying questions that they go into.
Okay.
Spirit doesn't care about that. They do not care about the questions that you have. They have something that they want to tell you. So it's funny because my sessions are 20 minutes when I do them. And you'll see these skeptical people who come in for the first 18 minutes and they fight the entire way, and they're ignoring everything that comes through. And then all of a sudden they'll hear that voice and they'll go, oh, wait, that was them. And I'll say, yeah, and we have 2 minutes left now.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Their time you wasted because you wanted to be – so hard on the situation.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So when you go into it with that open mind, when you go into it with just saying, hi, how are you? How are you doing? Are you okay? And they let them talk to you. They will give you information about, you know, things that have happened during their lifetime, where they are now, the things that they've learned, how they've grown, the things that they see for you and what they've watched over time. You know, it's...
You get a lot of information then.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, it's funny because people see the 20 minutes and they go, 20 minutes, that's all? I said, 20 minutes is, it will change your entire life, I guarantee you.
Yes.
Because the majority of the time when you go in and you want to speak to one specific person, you'll have your whole family come through. You'll hear all their voices and it becomes a family reunion. It's incredible.
Gosh. Now, you ask for protection also with the people that you work with on your own spirit team, right? So that, because there are other entities that come through, they may try to trick you and tell you they're this and they're that and they're not. And so how does that work? How does your protection work?
Well, I think everybody has a different way to protect themselves. You know, I have my own methods as far as grounding goes that I do myself, which is just a visualization exercise where I see a beam of light basically coming down through the heavens, and it goes through the center of my head all the way through my body, it goes down through my feet, and then actually roots me into the ground like a tree. And I always do that before I go into any kind of investigation or ghost box session. And then I always clear myself afterwards as well. I try to get rid of the energy that's on me, no matter if it's positive or negative. It's just never good to carry with you after that point. But I'm also very fortunate that with the box, I actually have my own team, which I call the technicians. And I have an interesting story. I'd like to tell you about that too, actually. But the spirit technicians, they say that they see things from the top of the mountain. So sometimes when I think that I'm dealing with something on a specific level, that human ego kicks in. It's just a natural thing. You know, when you think you're dealing with a child, but it might be a demonic entity, that they will shut the device down if they feel that you're in danger. They'll actually drain the battery, or you'll watch the switch flip, and it'll just turn it off right there. So it's almost like having parents that are there to make sure that you're doing it the right way. Yeah.
Good parents.
Yeah.
Good parents. But, you know, I always thought it was the craziest thing. When I would say technicians, why technicians? That just doesn't make sense to me, but it's the one thing that hit me that came through.
Yeah, that one time at the very beginning. Now, just hold that thought, because we want to hear more, because we know you have a whole big story on the technicians, and we want more of that. But we are coming to the top of the hour, so we're going to have to take a very short commercial break. If you've got a question for Chris, you can type it in right in the chat room. We will offer it for on your behalf. And that is www.irnchat.com, irnchat.com. And again, we are speaking with Christopher Moon tonight, and he is the author of a great book that you've got to run out and get. You will not be sorry you made this investment. There it is.
Yes,
it is
called Ghost Box.
Ghost Box. And it's fabulous.
Both it is.
Kay and I loved it. It's funny, it's sad, it's touching, it's everything you want. So anyways, Ghost Box is the name of the book, and we will be right back. You're listening to Supernatural Girls Radio. Welcome back, everyone, to Supernatural Girls Radio. I'm your host, Patricia Baker. I am here with my co-host, Patricia Kirkman, the famous PK.
Oh, you
and we are speaking... I don't know, though. We are speaking with a terrific guest tonight, Christopher Moon. He is the author of a great book you must get called Ghost Box.
Yes.
We're talking about spirit technicians, but before we go to spirit technicians, there is a question from Dark Knight. And Dark Knight wants to know, how many years, Chris, have you been doing this?
Yeah, I'm not sure which portion he's talking about. I assume we're talking about the box, with the Ghost Box. Yeah, as far as back as we can tell right now, it looks like late 2003, early 2004 is when the first contact was made with Frank. So about a year later, went out there. Like I said, we'd sat on the shelf for about a year collecting dust, but we took it out there very early on to the Sally House and realized we could actually speak to spirits.
Amazing. Now, tell us all about the spirit technician connection. This is a good one.
Yes.
As far as the technicians?
Yeah.
Yes, that you came upon this.
Okay. Yeah, this was the craziest thing. I say the craziest thing. It's all crazy, really. sometimes I have to do that seriously with myself. I start listening to the things that I'm saying. I go, is this really happening? There's not a morning that I don't wake up and go, okay, wait a minute. Are you crazy or is this real? And then I kind of have, you know, work through that process, and then something happens synchronistic and I go, okay.
You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my husband and kids just gave me an executive order. Stylish new outfits now. Where do I go?
Get to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, get up to 50% off store-wide during Old Navy's big President's Day sale.
Up to 50% off store-wide? I won't veto that.
Old Navy's fashion-forward jeans start at just $15 for adults, $10 for kids. And colorful fleece starts at just $15 for adults, $12 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. But hurry, the sale ends soon.
Well, just call me Shopper-in-Chief. We're going to Old Navy now.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 212 through 220. Select styles only.
Yeah. Supposed to do this, but yeah, I know it sounds nuts. I do. So I realized very early on, like I said, the first time I said the technician's assist thing, I had no idea what that even meant. And we first started hearing the voices of these spirit guides come through the device. I made the assumption at that point that they were just these random guides or angels that were out there doing this. But I later found out in speaking to them that they've always worked specifically on this project in developing it and working on it. And I know, as crazy as it sounds, Thomas Edison is still very much in charge of putting this whole thing together. And he comes through the device on a consistent basis. But we talk about these different entities that are out there. We're not talking about strictly people who've lived on Earth and passed away and moved on to the other side, or even what you consider standard spirit guides that are over there. There's a lot of interdimensional creatures that are out there that I don't think we'll ever fully, at least I don't feel like I'll ever fully understand exactly where they are on the quantum physics ladder, on the string theory idea. But they're out there working on the project just as much as terrestrial entities would be. And I really found it to be this fascinating group that's been over there, literally hundreds, if not thousands of them, that I work with. And, you know, I always ask for the name to come through to begin with. Who are we, you know, technicians assist, and I wait, and I say, and who's with us today? And we'll get different names that'll come in, some that make sense, some that are very exotic sounding, some that make no sense whatsoever. But the thing that a lot of people don't know is that I'm not really listening for the name. It's great to have the name and know that, but there's a very specific tone of frequency that comes through that I hear when I know that it's my team, my technician team, and that's when I know to move forward. And I don't even really talk about that a lot. I'm kind of revealing that on this show. It's a tone more than anything else, and that's how I know I can move forward. So,
thank you for sharing that with our audience, because that's a very important piece of information of how you get that feeling to go ahead, that it's safe and it's okay.
Yeah, and that's the only way to move forward with it at that point. So, yeah, I deal with a lot of different personalities, a lot of different spirit that's on the other side. But, you know, the tone is really what makes the difference. So even then, like I said, I've always had to kind of check myself and say, you know, are you really dealing with these entities? Is it maybe just one who's kind of changing things around and making you feel like there's more out there? I always question these things. It's always my skeptic mind that's running. And something happened very recently. I joined an ITC group on Facebook, and that's something I don't do a lot. I don't really work with a lot of other people who do this type of research, because it's a very competitive and gets a little rude from time to time field. But for some reason, I felt drawn to this specific person in this group. And what they were doing is actually posting up different things on there as far as historical facts, like a lot of things that had to do with the ITC experiments that have been done through the years. And there was a story in there that I had never heard before about a man and woman who had actually done research in the early 1980s using radios to communicate with spirits on the other side. And of course, when I saw this, I was fascinated. Oh, I got to read this. So the fascinating thing that came out of this for me was, is they started communicating with different voices that were coming through randomly. But they said that there was one voice that was always over the top of the other voices. And they said, well, who are you? And it said, I'm the one who connects the bridge. I'm the one who protects you as you go across the bridge. You can call me technician.
Ah, there you go.
For heaven's sakes.
Isn't that something?
And it all snapped together for me. I went, that's incredible. That's absolutely amazing. So that was my validation at that point. That told me, okay, there really is something to this. Even though I've been doing it for years, I said, okay, now I can say for sure that this is really happening. So that was really nice to hear. And I've had validation through the years, amazing things that have come through. You mentioned, I think we were talking off air a little bit about the skull experiment.
Yes.
You had mentioned the skull experiment, and I had never read that book until fairly recently. And for people who don't know what the skull experiment was, is basically a group of scientists and psychics who got together in Skull, England, to either prove or disprove once and for all that psychic phenomena was real. And that was the whole idea back behind it. And a lot of amazing things happened during that time. But one thing that was really significant was they were using 35 millimeter film, and it was in sealed containers. And when they would do their experiments, they would open these unsealed completely sealed film canisters up, and they would open these things up and look at them, and there'd be all sorts of writings and drawings and amazing signatures and things on these film. So one of the main contributors who was coming through during this time was Thomas Edison.
Exactly.
And I had no idea that this was the case. Well, one of my students actually made me aware, made me read the book, and there's a section in there that talks about Thomas Edison coming through one of the psychics and on one of these containers stating that he was going to complete his telephone to the dead using a physical medium, Frank, and that there was going to be another man who was going to take it out and show the world this machine and showed that spirit reality or spirit communication was a reality. And I realized that's me. And
you.
And it was like reading your own history. I went, this is absolutely amazing. This has all been planned long before we ever had any idea.
And there's a big team over there. We've had Robin Foy, the lead medium for the Skoll Experiment, on the show several times. And he's a great guy. He's now a friend of ours. It's amazing. And for people who would like to see, exactly see what they've done, they can either read Robin's book, which is Witnessing the Impossible, mm-hmm. or they can watch a video on YouTube. It's a full-length movie called The Afterlife Investigations, which will show everything that they've done. But we got a scoop from him last time. So if you want to go back and listen to a show to find out why it ended, we were the only ones to find out why it ended. A fascinating story from Robin. You got to hear that, and we got to have him back on. Maybe we'll have the two of you on together. That would be fun.
That would be interesting.
Wouldn't that, though?
Yes, because they are now starting to sit again over in Europe. So we're going to have to find some way to bring all this together. It's very powerful what's happening now.
If they're starting to do that again, I would like to be a part of that. I'd like to take the machine and be a part of that.
Yeah, well, we're going to put you guys together for sure, and it'll be fun. Now, I know people wanted to call in, so I wanted to give the number out, which is 888-919-2355. Again, that phone number to call in if you want to talk with Chris is 888-919-2355. And if you'd rather, you can write your question in the chat room, which is irnchat.com, irnchat.com. Well, this is you're in the right place, Chris, because Supernatural Girls is where paranormal is normal. So we don't think of any of this as crazy. To us, this is everyday life. This is how it really is. So you come to the right place, talking to the right people, and our audience, I know they're all right with us in the same place.
That's good to know.
Now, in your book, you have so many wonderful adventures and so many heartwarming experiences mm-hmm. that you've offered to people, women who've lost their children. You've been able to put them in touch with each other. I mean, my God, this is phenomenal work. It's really, this is what to me, spirit is all about, being able to connect like this.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the tremendous gift of that, when a parent loses a child, that reconnect to know that it's really okay, because some fight it for so long.
Yeah, it's being a parent. I can't even fathom the feeling that has to happen when you lose a child. It's out of order. It's doesn't feel like it's in the progressive way. And the most precious thing you have is your children. And, I, of course, like anyone else, I've always kind of sat back and thought about how terrible that would be and the tragedy that happens to parents and children in those cases. But it really was that case that I talked about in the book with the Bereaved Mothers Club, where all of these women wanted to reconnect with their children who most had died in very violent and tragic ways. And there was a lot of crying and screaming and emotion and wanting to know why. And that case, and I'll let everybody read the chapter completely, but that case was very interesting for me because that was the most physical medium experience that I've ever had in my life, because not only were these children's voices coming through the machines and crying and explaining and going through all these different things, but I realized as I was doing the session for all these poor women, I was actually taking on the energy of these children, and they were seeing me, just the energy, as their kids. So as I would finish the session and they would come up and grip onto me, they were holding their child. I was, it was like an occupation, not a bad occupant, but their child was there. It was, they were with me and they were able to feel their presence as they connected physically with me. And in hindsight, it was absolutely amazing. At the time, it was terrifying for me. And draining, but now being able to look back on it and the gift that I was able to give them that night was probably one of the greatest experiences of my life.
Yes, absolutely. That, my God, you know, that's the kind of thing that I'm sure people who have lost children, parents who have lost children, can only dream about, but yet you've made it happen for this group and hopefully for many more. And now you've had these heartwarming experiences with people, but you've also had some pretty terrifying experiences.
Yes.
With some other types of entities.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Tell us about some of those.
Well, I'll tell you this. When I teach most of my classes or I speak at universities, one of the first things that people come up to me and ask me is, aren't you scared to death to do this work? How do you go out and do this? And, there are still those frightening moments, but, the universe puts you in the place you're supposed to be. And I finally came to accept that this is my role. This is what I'm supposed to be. I'm a spiritual warrior. I'm a communicator. It's what I do. So I don't fear things nearly as much as I used to. But again, I'm put in positions that are almost horror movie-like, sometimes worse than horror movie-like. The scenarios couldn't even be imagined where you're in dealing with demonic entities and you're being choked, you're being scratched, you're being thrown downstairs, you're physically attacked, spiritually attacked. You're witnessing your friends, your mother being attacked energy-wise and physically scratched and burned in front of you, and realizing that there's very little of anything that you can do to stop it from happening. We just did on our show, The Ghost Box Chronicles, our last episode that we had, my co-host, Dee Garcia, who's in the chat room tonight. Hi, Dee. How are you?
Hi, Dee.
Hello, Dee. She's
like the most super awesome co-host that ever existed. So hi, Dee. She was out with us doing the investigation. And while we were out there, what we do that's a little different on our show is we film on Facebook Live while we're filming the show. So we've got the high quality cameras, the high quality microphones and things like that. But we always try to do at least a segment of it on Facebook Live so nothing can be changed or altered or faked or anything along those lines. There's really a reality that goes back behind that. But anyway, this location in Ida Grove, Iowa that we were invited out to, we had no idea what we were getting into when we went out there. But it was a demonically charged location, and Dee was scratched several times on live on camera. Ooh. And you realize as that's happening, there's nothing you can do to stop it. You can try to help them and pull the energy off after the fact, but when people are being hurt, you really have to wait for that energy to die down before there's anything you can do.
Gosh. So when this happened to Dee and she was scratched, did you then remove her from the area so she could be safe again? Or how did you handle that?
Well, she's been an experiencer for most of her life, so she's not an amateur when it comes to it. She knows how to kind of handle herself in those situations and not show fear, because once you show fear or anger, that's really when things escalate very quickly. But we got her outside. I was able to kind of put my hand over the burn and the scratch and pull some of the negative energy off of it, and it stopped the pain or limited the pain that she was experiencing. So she was able to get through.
Chris,
oh, goodness.
Do any of these entities, do they stay with you when you're leaving?
Yeah, definitely. We you try to clear yourself. You do the best you can to ground, but you're always taking a chance when you go into these situations. And that's why I always advise people who get into paranormal investigation, you have to be cautious. It's not just watching a television show or reading one book and then going out there and calling yourself an expert. It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
I always tell people, explore both sides. You want to make sure that you talk to as many people who've lived through these situations for many, many years. You might take some of that information with a grain of salt, but it's better to talk to people who've experienced these things and learn before you ever put yourself in those positions, and always ask for help if you need it. I still, to this day, if I don't understand something that I'm dealing with and I feel like I'm in over my head, I have a network of people that I can contact and ask for help. So you're never too far above it.
That's good. It's good that you have that kind of network. And I think that's great advice, don't you, PK, for anybody who thinks that they're going to go out and do this kind
of
thing?
Definitely.
You have to walk carefully, especially now, right? With the veil so thin.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, that's something I talk about in my spirit communication presentation is about how since 2001, the veil's thinned to almost nothing. By the time we hit 2012, we're literally at a point where we're reaching across, millennia. We're basically just touching the other side on a consistent basis.
Wow.
What now, do you see for the future with this, Chris, as it stands right now?
Good question.
That's a great question, actually. I don't get that question a lot. Now, are you talking about with the machine, or are you talking about the spirit?
The combination, either both, actually.
Well, that's a nice segue, actually, because I'm going to take a step into another side of this, which is part of the book with the ET aspect of things. This is my personal belief, and what I've seen so far is that disclosure is coming very quickly. And when I'm speaking about disclosure, I'm speaking about the reality that the world governments already have been well aware of for many, many millennia at this point. They understand the risk, and they're trying to suppress it because, you know, once there's a loss of power in government and religion and all these different things, when one man doesn't control or rule another, you know, what do they do? So I feel like the spirit world's been trying to prep us. I feel that there's been an opposition to it, and I think that it's now to a point where we are going to start to see things escalate very, very quickly. And I think that even the mainstream media has been trying to kind of warn us about these things or prepare us for these things that are about to take place.
Well, that's a great answer. I can't wait to see, because I see disclosure, and I know, PK, we've talked about this endlessly, right, not coming from the governments, but just coming from our own experiences out in the world, like whether the UFOs show up on our backyard or what. It's not, but the U.S. government doesn't see any benefit to sharing any of this with us. They think that they have to be in charge. They've got to show how strong they are and how powerful, even though they can't control the things that are coming in and out of our own skies.
They can't control on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Right. So, but anyway, so I hope that people understand how important your work is, Chris, in developing a level of comfort with all of this and seeing that it's not something to be afraid of. Generally, I mean, I'm not saying go in and start conjuring up demons that you don't want to do, but in contacting people on the other side and having these conversations, there's a lot of healing in it, which you've been able to offer across the board to people.
Do you see more of this opening up within the next? I'm asking only because of what I personally pick up within 2 to 5 years.
That's right around the range. I always, since I've been very young, I've always seen the number 3. So, and in numerology,
2 years, that's it then.
Yeah, and I think for the numerology aspect of this, I think you can, PK, you can probably appreciate that. I found out that my master number is 33, and there's a very significant, I had no idea, significant idea that goes back behind that. And
that's right.
I think that there's a lot of us that can be identified through numerology that are supposed to lead the way to show people what's coming and really prep people for what's coming. So it's, you know, my path, I'll go back to what you're saying. Yes, I believe 2 to 3 years definitely is we're going to see that disclosure aspect. But it's fascinating to me when I go back and look at how I kind of came into the point that I am right now, because if you would have told me when I was a teenager that one day I would be on your show as a quote-unquote paranormal expert / you know, psychic medium who uses a magic radio to talk to dead people, and, you know, I'm going to tell everybody how the disclosure is going to take place, I would have looked at it and said, you are completely out of your mind. There's no way. But it's interesting because I see the progression and I see how it's worked, and I'll give you a quick crazy story. Do we have a minute? I don't want to.
We have a quick minute.
Okay. So I'll tell you that this is my fast path. Okay. As a musician, when I was younger, again, I've always had these abilities and knew there was something there, but, even as a young musician, I played guitar, and that's what I did. I was very happy playing guitar, and I was actually forced into singing for a band at one point. I didn't want to sing, but there was no singer, so they said, you're the singer now, and I said, oh, I can't do this. Don't want to be up front singing, so I had to teach myself to sing, number one, and then I would sing, but I was very quiet, and then somebody eventually told me, you have to be a front man. You've got to talk to the crowd and get them excited and bring them in and engage them and do all these different things. I don't know how to do that. Well, you have to, so I kind of forced forced myself to get out there and show, you know, this whole idea about being a front man. And I think I became pretty good at it over the years. And one thing that would happen to me on a consistent basis is that I really love the band AC/DC. This is important. So the band AC/DC. And I was fascinated with them. They were the greatest thing ever to me. I love playing their music. They were the best. And there was a band that came out in the 1980s called Tesla. And I thought that their music was pretty good, but anytime we would try to cover one of their songs, disaster would strike. And eventually, it got to the point that when their songs came on the radio, car accidents happened, people got hurt, it got very, very bad. So we would get to the point when Tesla would come on that we would turn off the radio, burn the CDs, do all those different things to make sure it didn't happen. So I had no idea why this was, and I know this sounds crazy, but I'm getting to my point. So
you're going to have to hold the point until after the break. We're going to be on the edge.
This is truly a cliffhanger.
Yep. I know, it's a cliffhanger. We're going to be on the edge of our seats. So here, we got to take a real short break. If you want to call in, 888-919-2355. Again, 888-919-2355. You're listening to Supernatural Girls Radio, where paranormal is normal. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone, to Supernatural Girls Radio. I'm your host, Patricia Baker. I'm here with my co-host, PK, and our terrific guest
fabulous
tonight. We're having
guest.
So much fun.
Yes.
With Christopher Moon, and he is the author of a terrific book called Ghost Box. And we are on the edge of our seats waiting for the point to the story. There's the beautiful cover of the book.
It is. It's a wonderful book.
You guys got to get it. It's amazing. It's great. It's entertaining and it's informative. Get it. It's wonderful. So we're on the edge of our seats here, Chris. We got to finish this.
Oh, finishing the story, yeah. So favorite band was AC/DC, and anytime that we would play or even have the music of Tesla, the band, on anywhere, bad luck would ensue. So it got to the point where everybody would know when that song came on or the band came on, you turn off the radio immediately. And especially there was a song called Edison's Medicine that they used to do. And once that would come out, shut everything down because the world was going to blow up. It was one of those types of situations. So yeah, I thought really – weird. So fast forward many, many years, I had a little blue ghost box that Frank had built me. It was the second or third generation device that it had, and it ran on batteries and it was very small, not a loudspeaker, but it worked really well. And I was at Thomas Edison's museum in Fort Myers, Florida. And I'm walking through with this little box. They had no idea what it was. And I'm walking through and I'm looking at the walls. And all over the walls, I see AC/DC, 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 AC/DC. And I'm thinking to myself, huh, this kind of makes sense. And then all of a sudden, as I'm sitting there listening to them talking, I realized, I said, Tesla was his number one adversary. And I realized right then and there that even since I was very young, that had been him telling me in his own way, you stay away from Tesla, you stick with me.
Whoa.
Isn't that incredible?
Mind you, all to himself.
Yeah, it clicked with me immediately, and I went, oh, my gosh, that's what this is all about. So as ironic as it was, we were out at one of the old buildings, and we were working with a staff member who I won't give away a name because they'll get in trouble, but they were kind of taking us behind the scenes into some of these different areas. And I actually took the antenna of this ghost box and attached it to a very old original telephone that was still inside the location, and I don't know why I did it. They just told me to. And I turned the device on, there is Edison in front of a group of five of my friends as we stood there, we had a full-blown conversation back and forth with Edison, and he went into detail in telling us where he had actually taken all of his notes for the machine, that they were destroyed by his contemporaries, that he had actually been so afraid that somebody was going to steal his design of the original telephone to the dead, that he didn't write everything down, that he actually had it recorded to those old phonograph recorders. Oh, I hear music.
I don't know why. Let's ignore it.
Well, and it's interesting.
I said
Edison, he's playing, or he's somebody's playing a joke here. So.
Yeah, phonograph recording. It's almost like I have background music at this point.
I know. Yeah. Hey, Joe, what are you doing to us? We're hearing music on the air that doesn't belong.
No.
I hear sweet dreams. Marilyn Manson, I believe. And I'm right when I do hear that. Yes, I'm correct.
That is
what
strange.
In the world? Is your box on?
The box is not on. There's no music or sound from my side. I'm telling you right now.
Where is this coming from? Okay, it stopped. All right.
He said that he had actually recorded everything with his voice onto a phonograph recorder, a cylinder, phonograph cylinder. Mm-hmm. And then he told us where the cylinder was hidden inside one of his houses inside the place. Oh. And I turned to the guide and her face was stark white. She goes, oh my God, I know exactly where that is. So here's the conspiracy theory aspect of it. She was going to go in and actually get to this old part of the museum nobody could get to anymore and open the closet, open up the secret compartment he told us about to see if it was still there. And she was let go before she could go and see it.
You're kidding.
So no. Somebody knew, somebody overheard. Yeah.
Somebody was listening in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well, they're watching you. There's no doubt about it. Well, one thing PK asked you before is if you could show everybody what the box looks like. And while you're doing that, if that's okay, we have another question. And this is from James Sproul. And James is asking, can Chris talk about the video part of the box?
Showing the box, everybody, if they can see.
There
that is
the box.
Incredible. Yeah. It looks so simplistic. That's what makes it even more fascinating.
And this is Frank's box. This is the latest version.
This was this was one of the last ones he built for me. And this one was interesting. This was number 40. And he actually built this one specifically for me because I came back to him with specific instruction from Spirit on what they wanted in this device. I am not technical at all. Anybody who knows me knows I am not a mechanical person. And I went back to Frank and I said, Frank, I need you to build a box for me. He goes, yeah, okay, I'll get to it. I said, no, there's some specific things. You're supposed to burn the circuit. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to do that. And he looked at me. He goes, are you kidding me? And I said, no, that's what they told me. He goes, how did you know to say that? And I said, they told me to tell you. So he built it to my specifications and it's been the box I've used mainly since 2007.
So tell us about this video part of the box. What is that?
Yeah, I know James. Hi, James. How are you? He had an experience in Louisville, Kentucky at Scarefest. His grandmother actually came through during the gallery reading. Through the device. So hi, James. He's also a great box talker, my radio show, Box Talk. The video version of the device, I had bugged Frank for years to do a video version. And if for anybody who knew Frank, he'd go, yeah, I'll get to it. And he rarely would, but I harassed him long enough that I thought it was just time to let it go, and eventually he called me one day or emailed me and said, I'm working on this video device, you need to see it. Like it was all his idea. It made me laugh. So I showed up and did some testing with him, and we had some really interesting images that came through what he was doing with it. A few years later, he actually created what he called the video box, and he invited me over for coffee and showed me just this machine. It looked like a regular ghost box, Frank's box, but there was this little video screen up on top with some controls. And when he first showed it to me, again, if I wouldn't have known better, I would have thought this guy's crazy. It just looks like static. There's nothing to this. But I knew from my first experience, I was like, you better pay attention because I think there might be something big here. So I started actually, as I'd stare at this more and more, I'd see little flashes that would come through, which look like images, just split second. So sight unseen, we took it out to Atchison, Kansas. Interestingly enough, kind of like the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And we were filming a pilot for a show called Ghost Box with Christopher Moon. That was the name of it. I went to an old museum out there, which is an old Victorian mansion that I found out later a woman had built this on top of a cemetery. They didn't move the bodies. They just got rid of the headstones. And she built the house on top of it because she thought it was the best view in town. And that was the reason she did it.
That's smart.
Oh, yeah, of course. So then when she passed away, things got interesting. So we were in there talking and trying to figure out exactly who was there. And it was the woman who came through audio.
You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my husband and kids just gave me an executive order. Stylish new outfits now. Where do I go?
Get to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, get up to 50% off store-wide during Old Navy's big President's Day sale.
Up to 50% off store-wide? I won't veto that.
Old Navy's fashion-forward jeans start at just $15 for adults, $10 for kids, and colorful fleece starts at just $15 for adults, $12 for kids at Old Navy and oldnavy.com. But hurry, the sale ends soon.
Well, just call me Shopper-in-Chief. We're going to Old Navy now.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 212 through 220. Select styles only.
Wise on the device and said that she was the one who spoke for everyone who was there. And then they directed me through voice to actually flip switches on the device. And as I did this, they were filming the entire time just on this little screen. And I saw a flash that came through and I saw the image in my head and it imprinted itself. I could see it clearly. And once that was in my head, I just said, okay, I know that there's something there. So the director went back and went frame by frame through all of that footage. So you have to know that there's millions of these frames, and he went click, 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 click. And eventually the point I said, flip, there's a face. It was there. And it was so distinct. It was this woman, and you could see she had her hair in a tight bun up on top, and all the way down through the detail in her face, and she had this really high Victorian collar and jewelry that was coming down in the very front. I thought, this is incredible. This is, what an amazing picture. And it was. It's incredible. You can actually go back and see it. It's on my YouTube channel, which is Man is the Moon. But the thing that blew me away is I had not watched the demo reel that was before it, and he had actually been scanning through on his camera taking pictures of the room, and he had gone over a portrait of this woman, and it was a spitting image of that woman in the portrait. So it told us right then and there, that's her.
Incredible.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That is incredible. Well, let's talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about the technology here, because now you're down to number 40. Frank passed away, unfortunately, several years ago. So we better hope this box holds up, right?
Yeah, that's something I've been talking about a lot lately. We're not sure who's going to be able to carry on with this. I started working after Frank passed away. I for about a year, I didn't know where to go. You know, that these machines are very much just, you know, wood and electronics, and you really never know how long they're going to hold up. And I feel like I've been blessed to a certain point, almost like the oil lasting in the lamp longer than it should have type of idea, because Frank used to do maintenance on these devices about every 4 to 6 months for me to make sure that they were fine tuned. And now Frank's been gone over 3 years, I believe. And we haven't had anybody touch any of these machines. So I had started looking for people to help me with the device, knowing full well that it was going to be nearly impossible to find a physical medium out there like Frank, who would be able to hear these voices come through and tune the boards and things like that to be able to speak to them. I started working with a man named Andre, who was somebody who followed Frank very closely and built things to his specifications. And I actually have two devices through Andre, which, while they're not Frank's boxes, they're not ghost boxes in that sense. They do work very well. I think the intention that goes with them works. We've got some great evidence through those. But as far as the devices themselves, I don't know how long they're going to last, and I don't know who would be able to fix them.
Yeah, that's really a question, huh? So you have your eye out for somebody that may be able to help you and has the same abilities that Frank had. Now, has Frank come through to talk to you?
Yeah, Frank has come through. It was interesting because Frank was kind of, I think admittedly, you could ask his wife or anybody else, he was kind of a unique guy. I don't know what the word would be for him. Yeah, just unique. That's the best way to put it. And he had a lot of idiosyncrasies that so it might drive a few people crazy. Not a lot of people knew that Frank was a nudist. He liked, sometimes when you'd show up over at his house, he'd surprise you. and there would be a couple of times you go, wow. So, you know, when we went to his funeral, it was kind of funny to exchange the stories. There was a lot of laughter, more laughs than tears when we were talking about Frank. He was just such an interesting guy. But Frank had a colorful vocabulary, and he always swore, you know, because a lot of people, he really trusted people to take these devices. So he put these devices out. If somebody said that they wanted one, he'd hand them a device, and then most people would take them and either sell them or you know, say that they didn't work and discredit him, or it really put him in a bad place. So he was always very defensive of his work and things like that. So he'd always tell me, he'd say, you know, when I die, I'm never coming through my own machine. I won't give him the credit. I won't give him the satisfaction. I won't do it. So when he did pass away, I'll never forget, I was in New Orleans when I got the news. And it was worse. It was the worst feeling of loss that I've ever had, worse than losing a family member. I felt like my spiritual brother was gone at that point, and it really devastated me. And when I got back to Colorado, I remember I turned on a device, and I never do it for myself, but I turned on the device and I said, "Hey Frank, if you're out there, is there anything that I can pass on to your wife?" And he just recorded a little short. He came through and recorded this little short thing about how he was going to miss having coffee in the morning with his wife.
Oh.
And I was able to pass on that recording to her, and I think it meant a lot to her at that point. So I didn't know what was going to happen past that point, but he is absolutely – he's over there. He's working on the project. He's working on everything. He has no interest in connecting anyone with their loved ones. That's not what he does. But he's very much about the technology, and he always wants to make sure that we're still moving forward. We're advancing with this. So he actually came through over on his video box, and we knew it was Frank because when he showed up, he only showed up with his hat on. That's all he had on. And
you can't top that one.
No. And once he made his appearance to all of us in the room, we all went, but then we knew. And he said, "I have a few things that I want to show you." And he started showing us some of the most amazing miraculous. He showed us, this is what they call an angel. This is what they call this. This is what they call that. And he showed us different images that came through. And I'll never forget it. So I still talk to Frank occasionally.
Can he possibly recommend someone that you would be able to use? Is he aware of?
You know, I've actually asked him that question several times, and he has not given me a definitive answer towards anyone. Uh-huh. So my assumption on this is my mission. I think that I'm supposed to I probably chose this before I got here. I'm supposed to get to a point of desperation, and then I think that the person who's supposed to come into my life will. I know there's a lot of people out there who've come forward and asked to help with this, but I unfortunately know that a lot of these people have all ulterior motives, and I have to be very cautious, with that.
Yeah. Sure, you do.
That's the sad part.
Yeah.
You have to be on guard.
Yeah.
What their motives might be. Very hard. What about doctors coming through? Do doctors come through to try to help people with their medical conditions with more knowledge that they've gotten from the other side?
We have had doctors come through. It's interesting because usually when it comes down to it, I call my mom Dr. Psychic because she's the one, you know, when it comes down to it, they talk to her first. She'll look at somebody. Uh-huh. She'll tell them everything from, you know, diabetes, their diet's off, they need more vitamin this, their knees are bad, their legs are bad, change your shoes. She's got the whole thing down. So I usually can rely on them for the medical aspect of things. But I have had maybe three readings over the entire time I've been doing this, had doctors come through and actually from the spirit world and actually give recommendations that have been able to help people in this realm over here, where I've actually gotten feedback where they said, yes, in fact, I did go to my doctor and they told me that that was the case.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah, because there have been healers through the years. Edgar Cayce, who channeled information from the other side, and Bill Brown, who used to be act like an etheric surgeon, and he would have different surgeons possess him and he would heal people this way.
I can tell you a crazy thing that comes stemming from the ghost box to where we are right now. And I'll give you the quick story on this because we have Dee Garcia's in the chat room. So, and I didn't get to the technician story about it either. So anyway, I'll back up.
So
and I'll
much
tell you
to talk about here.
Oh, I could, guys, yeah. I could go on for hours and hours and hours.
That's great.
But the situation is this, is that Dee's father, unfortunately, they lost him just over a year ago. He passed away, and his name is Oscar Garcia. And I started doing a show with Dee, the Box Talk radio show on Paranormal Warehouse. I started doing with her, I want to say it was February of this year, we actually started doing the show. And from time to time, The audio from the ghost box doesn't come through very well through these headsets. That's why I try to avoid doing those kind of sessions. But people always want us to do readings on the air. So occasionally I'll pull the box out and do readings for people for 5 or 10 minutes and get some communication going for them. But the constant voice that was always coming through was Oscar. He would come through and talk to Dee. He would talk to the family. And he would dominate the sessions. And I used to get to the point, I'm like, Mr. Garcia, I have to move on. I've got to talk to other people. So we would have these conversations all the time. So anyway, fast forwarding, I used to think, wow, he comes through an awful lot. So it turns out he was an administrator, a teacher. And Dee had been having a lot of communication with him in conversations. So she said that she'd actually run into a situation where one night she was dreaming. And it was a very vivid dream where she was in her old house that she grew up at. And she walked out of her room, and there was me, as strange as that was, in Brownsville, Texas, me and her father, very much in the afterlife, but sitting there in the kitchen with an old telephone, one of the old corded handheld telephones. And he was sitting there talking to me, and I was somehow messing around with it and fidgeting and doing different things. And he was saying, no, you got to do it like this. Change that. You're not listening to me. And I was getting frustrated, saying, like this? He'd say, no, go do that. So we were having this whole conversation. Well, Dee, before you get mad at me, I'm paraphrasing. It's a longer dream than this. But she said, Dad, you know, you passed away. And he kind of gave her the shh, don't, if you say that, I'm going to be gone sort of thing. But she thought, how strange is that he's in the kitchen with Chris and they're messing with an old telephone. So long story short, she called me up and she said, hey, I had this weird dream. And I said, did you ever think that maybe he might be one of the technicians? And we kind of laughed about it. So a few days later, picture the scenario. We're on our radio show, and we decided to make the radio show the celebration of life for her father. So we were going to have all the family call in and talk about the amazing experiences they had with him and any kind of communications and things like that. So I was at a farmhouse, one of my good friend's farmhouses in Iowa, Fairfield, Iowa. And I'm just sitting in their kitchen, and I was trying to do with their internet that wasn't great, trying to do the radio show, and I had the headset on. And they said, okay, well, let's go ahead and turn on the box and see if we can get a hold of Oscar, see if he wants to come through and talk and all these different things. So I said, okay, great. So I took the box out and I turned it on. Technician's assist, Oscar, are you there? And it was really clouded and it was hard to hear. And I was like, ah, bummer. You know, this is going to be tough for the show. So all of a sudden, not through the box, but in my head, he basically said, you've got to plug it in, dummy. And I said, and I went, what? And I realize now I'm having this conversation with him on the air like we are right now. People are watching us, and I'm having a conversation with him in my head. What are you talking about? Plug? No, I can't. Okay. So I'll be right back. And I put the headset down, and I went over and got the plug, plugged it into the wall, plugged it in, set it down on my lap, turned it on, and it has a position on it. When it's plugged in, it has to sit at zero for the sweep rate. And you never do it above that because you can't hear anything past that point. So I turn the machine back on. It's sitting at zero, and it's not doing anything. And he goes, turn it to three. And I said, Oscar, I can't turn it to three. That's too fast. It's not going to work. He goes, turn it to three. So, okay. And I turned it to three. There he was, clear as day. He's like, I told you it worked. See? And so he had a whole conversation with Dee, had a whole conversation with the family, was a total comedian, strongest he's ever been, and was able to come through as a guest on his own show in the Celebration for Life. At the end of this conversation, Dee says, Dad, are you a technician? And basically, long story short, he said, yes. So we shut down and everything else. Midway through the show, all of a sudden it dawns on me about Dee's dream. We're sitting in a kitchen in the dream, going back and forth trying to fix the telephone. This was the telephone. Right. We were actually, right. She was foreseeing us sitting in the kitchen trying to fix the telephone.
Exactly. Wow, good dream, Dee. That's awesome. Yes.
It was absolutely incredible. It was absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. So.
Only have a couple minutes left, unfortunately, Chris. This has been so great. But I do have to ask you, because in your book you do reference hearing from extraterrestrials, and it's a different kind of communication.
It is.
So can you talk about that, at least to wrap up and let people know that the ghost box isn't just for people who've passed away?
No, absolutely not. No, you know, we really are on this ladder, as hard as that is to kind of fathom for some people. They're extraterrestrials. You know, a lot of the times that people see extraterrestrial ships, they assume that they're coming from outer space or whatever the case might be. But from what I've been able to gather from them, they move interdimensionally. And that's why we have no capability of keeping up with these things or even understanding exactly what they are. They come and go with the turn of a light. But what's interesting to me about the extraterrestrial aspect of it is that we are just part of a gigantic collective neighborhood that's out there. And I like to say, if you looked at a ladder, we'd be near the bottom rung, because most of these entities that are out there right now are on a much higher level and higher understanding than we have. We're very much in preschool.
Right.
And and when it comes down to it, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you speak to extraterrestrials. Well, yes, from time to time, a physical extraterrestrial, maybe. But the extraterrestrials that I deal with are in spirit form. They go through the same dimensional doorways, the vortexes that human spirit goes through, and they're able to communicate the same way that the human spirit does. So we speak to these entities on a consistent basis, and the information that they give us is far more interesting than you could ever imagine. It's just a lot of warnings and a lot of ideas, which ties in. I know we only have a couple minutes. I can go on forever. But the shadow people aspect of things, the shadow people, we don't even know what they are. We're still trying to understand what these entities are. And these are just the things that we've identified at this point. These are the things that we know are there. There's got to be millions of other subspecies, souls that are out there that we still have to learn about.
Absolutely. Well, Chris, we can't thank you enough. This has been just one of the best shows ever. You're a terrific guest. We've got to have you back.
Yes,
please promise us you'll come back and talk to us again about all of these other entities, ETs, et cetera, that you're communicating with. But again, thank you so very much. So we'll be back next week, everybody, with another terrific show. And until then, we'll see you on the Blue Highway. Good night.
Good night.
Get the ghost box.
Get the book, that's for sure. It is fabulous.
Get to Old Navy. Today's your last chance to get 50% off all fleece sweatshirts. That's right. Get 50% off all of Old Navy's famous fleece sweatshirts in stores and at oldnavy.com. Hurry. Ends tonight. Valid 2/18 to 2/19. Excludes active, licensed, and in-store clearance.